Here we go. It's another big week in the NFL for the Chicago Bears. This is the Bears Wire Podcast, powered by USA Today Sports. Now your host, Ryan O'Leary, and Bears Wire editor, Alyssa Barbieri.
Obviously, a lot of excitement through our building tonight. We feel really fortunate to be able to get Justin, you know, in the area of the draft. We were able to select him. The excitement throughout our whole building, you can feel it as I walk down here tonight. What he's going to do for the future of our organization. There's so much, guys, that goes into this process, as you well know, but starting with Matt and our scouts and our coaches as we build into this moment and into tonight. But I think, you know, when we select a quarterback, the situation that quarterback is coming into is critical. And I think we provide a great situation, as I kind of alluded to a couple of days ago, for that quarterback's development to happen. Matt has spoken to Andy Dalton tonight. That communication and clarity for us is really important. Andy is our starter, and we're going to have a really good plan in place to develop Justin and do what's best for our organization to win games.
I will never badmouth that guy again. I won't, Alyssa. I won't make fun of Ryan Pace ever again. He's the man. What a freaking move. Justin Fields is a Bear. I still can't believe it a few days later.
We're recording this, 5 days after it happened, and I still can't. There are, like, moments when I wake up and I check Twitter and I see, you know, photos of Justin Fields wearing a Bears hat and, like, see videos of that. And I'm like, oh my God, they actually pulled it off. Justin Fields is a Bear. It's not some dream and you wake up and you're stuck with Andy Dalton as your starting quarterback. It's just been an absolute insane, like, few days since Justin Fields has been drafted. It's like united the entire city of Chicago in a way that I haven't seen since maybe, like, when the Cubs won the World Series. So it's just, it's been crazy. And, you know, like you said, I mean, Ryan Pace, I mean, I owe you an apology. And I think this weekend has kind of been just like Bears fans just kind of, it's crazy. Like the shift like that happened heading like Thursday before the draft, you know, everyone just obviously the attitude towards Pace, and look at how it's changed. Like, everyone's like apologizing and praising him, and, you know, looking at all of the grades that the Bears have gotten for their draft, A+, A+, A. It's just insane that this has gone as well as it has. And I think this has the potential. I mean, obviously we have to see how things play out, but it has the potential to be Ryan Pace's best draft class. And that obviously starts with Fields. It's just insane. I still can't believe it. I remember texting you when it happened, and I'm like, and they did it.
We got a franchise quarterback.
We got a franchise quarterback.
And it's unbelievable. And as DraftWire said, one of the great draft steals in the last decade, really. And when you look at what the Bears gave up, I don't want to downplay and just pretend like the Bears didn't give up a lot to get him. They definitely did. Number 20, number 164, and first and fourth round picks in 2022. So they gave up a lot of ammo to go up and get Justin Fields. But as we talked about, that he just should not have been there on the board at number 11. I like that they didn't give up even more to go up into the top five, or, you know what I mean, try to trade with the Falcons and give up even more draft capital in the future to go get him. As Pace kind of talked about in that presser when he was just beaming from ear to ear, Alyssa, oh, was he the happiest man on the planet? He could not wait to face the media for the first time. He was so stoked for that presser. He's like, yeah, give it to me. You love me now. And I don't know, to look at the 49ers end up moving up 9 spots from 12 to number 3 to get Trey Lance. And they give up number 12 overall, number 102 overall. Then they give up first and third round picks in 2022 and a first rounder in 2023. The Bears move up 9 spots for Justin Fields themselves, Alyssa, but it's not the same haul, right? The 49ers gave up so much more to get up and get Trey Lance. And you can make an argument that Justin Fields is the more polished prospect. I think if there's a player that's going to play this season, it's probably Fields over Lance. I would rather have Fields. I mean, I think he'd be higher on my board than the kid that played at North Dakota State. So I'll give me the kid that played at Ohio State and brought them to the national title game and was really nails. Just shredded Clemson in the college football semifinals. Justin Fields is a freaking stud. He should not have been there at number 11. And for Pace to kind of sit there, be patient, let the thing come to him, call up his buddy Dave Gettleman and get that thing done. Oh, man, what a move. Just a spectacular move by Pace. But I think the price, it was a lot, but I would do it again in a heartbeat. I think I think you got to do it, and I'm glad they did.
Yeah, you, in order to get your franchise quarterback, you have to take a swing like that. We saw it when the Chiefs went up and, you know, drafted Patrick Mahomes, and when the Texans did with Deshaun Watson. You know, obviously that's, you know, things have changed since then. But, you know, I was, like you said, really impressed with the patience that Pace had, because he's been someone that, you know, just to kind of like jump the gun there and go and get his guy. But he kind of let the board kind of fall as it did. And, you know, watching, you know, the Panthers pass, and, you know, it was just insane that he was still there at number 11. They had arguably like a top three prospect and they got him at number 11. He is a stud. Like you said, I mean, I'm a Michigan fan, so I watched him personally torch.
Oh, you hate Justin Fields. You hate him.
I hated him, and now I'm his biggest fan because he's no longer a Buckeye. He is now a Chicago Bear. So, I mean, it's all good. But, you know, obviously as a Michigan fan, like hate watch, just like waiting for him to, you know, just kind of, you know, slip up. And he never did. I know he had his moment against Northwestern in the Big Ten championship game, but we saw how that worked out. You know, he was injured at that time. But, you know, just getting to just watch him. He's the real deal. And this, I think for real, you could say this is the best quarterback prospect that the Bears have ever had. Now, whether he ends up being the best quarterback in franchise history, which I think there's a really good chance that could happen, obviously, if the development goes right and the Bears are trying to put him in that position. They have everything around him. They're trying to build around him. The fact that the next two draft picks, or even technically the next four, were all offense. The next two draft picks after Fields were offensive linemen. Like, and that speaks volumes that they want to make sure they're protecting their future, that they're putting him in a position to succeed, the opposite of how things went down with Trubisky. And I mean, it's hard not to get excited every time you think of the possibility of Justin Fields as a Chicago Bear. And there was a video I think he shared on Instagram of him. He's already training again. Like, he never sleeps. Like, this kid is just like nonstop, and he's wearing a Bears hat, and it's like moments like that I'm like, oh my god, it's real. This is real life.
And he looks good with a shirt off. That's all I gotta say. Justin Fields, he's a chiseled man. Good for you, Justin. And so I just gotta ask you this one before I forget, because this is one that might slip through the cracks as we're talking here. How good do you feel for your guy Allen Robinson? I mean, and this is true. Like, he might stick around long term now if Justin, you know what I mean, if he develops something with Justin Fields. And this is something that will make your best players want to stay, will make players want to come to Chicago. Like, this is what we're talking about when you get a franchise big name player like Justin Fields as the QB1, which we'll get to here in a minute. But how do you feel for Allen Robinson?
I am so excited for him. I actually did a winners and losers of the draft post, and obviously one of my biggest winners was Allen Robinson. Winner. And also Darnell Winner. Mooney.
Yeah, sure.
He, like, complete winner. Like, I know we didn't see him like respond online, but you had to have believed that he is sitting there like, finally, you got me a quarterback. And you look at what he was able to accomplish with just terrible quarterback play, especially over the last two seasons, back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons with Mitchell Trubisky and Nick Foles. And now you're going to get Justin Fields, who he knows how to air it out. He's not afraid to take that deep shot, and he can put the ball where it needs to be. Like, Allen Robinson, like you said, I think that this could do wonders for, you know, a long-term future. And we'll see now what happens this offseason with, you know, contract negotiations long-term. But you have to believe that getting a franchise quarterback in place is going to do wonders for Robinson, you know, considering staying with Chicago. I mean, I'm just so happy for him. And Darnell Mooney, I know that, you know, Mooney didn't have to deal with it for as long as Robinson has, because Robinson has, is there anyone that, like Robinson, that's had to play with such terrible quarterback play? And like, you just feel so good for him. But also Mooney, I can't count how many times that he was overthrown last season and could have made a big play. His stats could have been even more amazing as a rookie. So I'm excited for both of them, especially Allen Robinson. And Ryan, I don't know, did you see the video of Eddie Jackson's reaction in the moment?
I didn't catch this.
It was insane. You had to go back and watch it, because he was like, he's sitting there, and this is how you know, like, this move, not only is it just revitalizing this fan base, but the team itself, especially the defense, who they've been waiting for a quarterback forever. But there's a moment where he's sitting there and he's like, you know, as they're waiting for the pick, you know, please say Justin Fields or Mac Jones. So you know that he wanted a quarterback. And then obviously when it was read, he started freaking out and he's like, it's about time. He finally got a, you know what I'm saying? He didn't say quarterback, but we all know what he was saying. It was just, sure. You can feel the excitement for the fan base and, you know, the players too. Like, this is a move that could just completely alter this franchise, like, for the better.
Yeah, I just picture mass hysteria. I picture people hugging in the streets and every cafe in Chicago right now. I just picture, you know, just everybody being propped up by this pick. And I think everybody's with him, with Eddie Jackson there. And I can't help now but look at the quarterback room as a whole. You've got Justin Fields, Andy Dalton, and Nick Foles, Alyssa. So what a quarterback room this is. And now you just got to look back and be like, man, I wish we could have the Andy Dalton signing back. I wish we could just, you know, do a do-over on that one. You can't do it. You gave him $10 million guaranteed. You're in a tough salary cap situation right now with your rookies, and we'll get to that here coming up. There's already been a casualty. But the Bears are saying all the right things, that Andy Dalton's going to be their starting quarterback and that they're going to develop Justin Fields and they have a plan for him. But I just look at this, you know, you've got Dalton, and as soon as he starts to suck, and, you know, he's going to suck. That's going to happen. It's, you know, whether it's week two, week three, I don't know when it's going to be, but he's going to play a terrible game, and the fans are going to be foaming at the mouth to put their guy in. And Justin Fields, as you said, he's a top three talent. He's the kind of guy like Trevor Lawrence that you could put in there right away. He can go. Like Baker Mayfield, they tried to put Tyrod Taylor in front of him, and that lasted about 3 weeks over in Cleveland, and Baker Mayfield became the starter, right? And it looked a lot better when he got in there. And this is the type of talent that Justin Fields is. Can they pull off something like the Chiefs did with Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes? I don't know. It depends how well Andy Dalton really plays. But it's hard to picture Andy Dalton coming out here and dominating in his first year with the team, learning the new system. I feel like Justin Fields has every chance to be as successful as Dalton in year one. And this is something we're going to be monitoring through training camp, through August into September as the season starts. If they do start the season with Andy Dalton, when is Fields going to get the number called? It's going to be fascinating. It's going
to
be fun.
Yeah, I understand the hesitancy on their part to rush Fields, because obviously he's got all the talent in the world, and now he just needs to be developed. And I understand that they want to take, like the, like you said, the Patrick Mahomes, Alex Smith route, but Andy Dalton is not Alex Smith. I mean, people forget that Alex Smith balled out in 2017, and that team made the playoffs. They won over 10 games, and Mahomes didn't really have to do anything. So Alex Smith didn't really put them in a position for Chiefs fans to be demanding to see Patrick Mahomes, because the team was doing great with him. So then you look at this situation. I mean, I think it was Ian Rappaport that said that the Bears, or some reporter said that the Bears believe that that they can win 10 games with Andy Dalton. And I mean, that's kind of hard for me to believe, but I mean, they did win 8 with Trubisky and Foles. So, I mean, we'll see, but you have to wonder just how long it's going to take for them to finally put Fields in, because they insist that they kind of want to just let him sit this year behind Dalton. But when you think about it, and watching training camp and practices, you have to wonder, because eventually it's going to be blatantly obvious that Justin Fields is the best quarterback on that field. So how long are you going to deny him? How long are you going to, you know, when, as you see Allen Robinson and Darnell Moody, and you see Eddie Jackson and Akeem Hicks and Khalil Mack, and they can see that he is clearly the best option, you're going to continue to go with Andy Dalton? I just don't see that happening. Eventually it's going to come to a point where he is the better option. And you could argue that he is the better option week one. But obviously there's going to be like the acclimation, you know, from college to NFL. And who knows what it's going to be like with this offseason, obviously, with the COVID restrictions still. So, I mean, I don't think it's going to take long for Fields to prove that he's the better quarterback, because we all know that he is. So, I mean, I think there's no way, and I mean no way, that Fields does not see the field this year. I just think it's going to be earlier. I think it could be earlier, but I mean, we saw that they rushed Trubisky. I understand that that's why they're nervous, but Fields is not Trubisky. He is a much, he's more ready. He has the experience. He's played in big moments. He has everything that he needs to succeed. I think that it's going to be a completely different situation, and I think that we'll see him sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I agree. And at least I hope so. And I think the team's going to go through the motions, and they're going to say Fields is battling with Foles for the number two job. And, oh, Justin won the number two job, and he's the backup to Dalton. And on we're going to go, and it's going to be a week-to-week thing, and eventually we will see Justin Fields this season. I agree. I think the decision is going to be really easy for Matt Nagy at some point this season. But Ryan Pace, love him. Everybody loves him. He is the man. And it's not just because of Justin Fields. He also pulled off a really good move in the second round that people are excited about. We'll get to that in the rest of the draft coming up next.
Yeah, I mean, just the tradition here, the history here, the pride, you know, here in Chicago is just unmatched. And, you know, I just love the energy already. And I'm just, you know, glad to be a Bear and, you know, glad to be a part of this great city and great organization. So I'm excited.
Well, there's the man, Justin Fields, newest quarterback of the Chicago Bears and future QB1. We got to put a plug on that right now, Alyssa. We can't call him the QB1 yet, but it's coming. I can't wait for that tweet. You know it's going to come from the Bears social media, QB1, Justin Fields. But he's got a draft class mate here in Tevin Jenkins, who I think we're going to be talking about for a long time. These could be two staples of the Bears franchise. And this was another really fun move that Ryan Pace made in the second round. He goes up to pick number 39, and he gets Tevin Jenkins, who's a guy that a lot of people mocked to the Bears in the first round at number 20, Alyssa, right? Tevin Jenkins. And the Bears end up getting him in the second round. This is a guy who was graded as a first-round grade by everyone. And somehow he slips into the second round. I think teams were really getting going on those skill positions. People started drafting running backs later in that first round, receivers, edge rushers. And Tevin Jenkins slips to the second round. Ryan Pace and the Bears go up and get him. And now you've got a tackle who could start day one, and you pair him with Justin Fields. And I think this is why people are raving about this draft class from the Bears. These two picks alone were freaking steals.
Yeah, I still can't believe that. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Ryan, I think when we were making our final predictions, I went with Tevin Jenkins, who I'd been mocking for a while. Obviously not in the first round, but I still can't believe they managed to get him in the second. That's just like straight up robbery. Awesome. And another reason why Pace has just absolutely killed it. And like I mentioned earlier, I mean, the most important thing, and I feel like it's I'm so proud of Pace because he's growing or that he's accepting more help or something, because you saw like what he did after drafting Justin Fields, and he went and he got him protection and a tackle that you can insert immediately from day one, whether it looks like it's going to be on the left side now, obviously with one of the casualties that happened, which we're going to talk about. But you know, you have a starting caliber tackle. You have who's going to protect your future, which you need, because tackle was one of the biggest positions of concern. So not only did you address the two biggest issues on your roster, and you got two steals, and it's just like incredible. I think that, like, looking at that, especially what Jenkins brings, and even like we can talk about Larry Borum from their fifth round pick, they bring a nastiness to the offensive line that just hasn't been there since Kyle Long. And I think that that's just like really important for, you know, just kind of the future of this team and the identity of the offensive line, because we know that the interior is set, like Sam Mustipher, he also has some of that nastiness, and James Daniels and Cody Whitehair, and you know, whichever side that Jenkins is going to line up on, which it feels like it's going to be left side. And it's just, you know, it's so important. You're getting it ready for Justin Fields. And I still can't believe that Ryan Pace was able to pull it off, not once, but twice, that he, and like, it still doesn't feel real. Like they got like a top quarterback and a top offensive tackle in the like in two rounds. And I'm just like, I still don't know how to feel.
No,
I'm in shock still.
I'm so used to giving him crap and you know, making fun of all his draft failures that you know, it does feel funny this week to be singing his praises. But
so
again,
weird.
This is my new mode. I am now a Ryan Pace guy. He won me over with this draft. This is phenomenal. And yeah, the casualty at the tackle spot is Charles Leno. And this is kind of a fan favorite, right? A seventh round pick who's been a starter for you forever. He's been starting for almost a decade for the Bears, 7 years. And but he is a cap casualty. They released him after selecting Borum and Tevin Jenkins in this draft. So yeah, so when they drafted Jenkins, Alyssa, I'm like, boom, you got your starting right tackle. There it is. Perfect. What a move. Great move. But now with Leno getting cut, you have to wonder, are they going to slide Jenkins to the left side, like you were saying? And then open up the competition there in camp for the right tackle spot. So that'll be interesting. What'd you think about the Leno news, though? I thought we've been kind of waiting for a few weeks for Jimmy Graham to get cut, but it sounds like he's going to stick around, and they decided to cut ways with Leno instead.
Yeah, I was shocked. I mean, it's something that it considered. I always thought that it was going to be one or the other, like him or Massey. And when Massey was cut, like I was like, okay, because you kind of want, especially with Justin Fields coming in, your young quarterback. Leno hasn't, he's not the greatest, but he's solid. He's average. And that's hard to find in the NFL. So, you know, just like a really, like a good left tackle. He's not great, but, and I think most of the fan base was kind of in shock too, because now you're taking your rookie tackle who, you know, a lot of people have projected to be a right tackle, and that's where he spent most of his time. And you're kind of putting that pressure on him, and then you're going to have either Jermaine Ifedi or Elijah Wilkinson or Larry Borum on the, at right tackle. Or, you know, I still think that they could bring in a veteran, which might be smart. But when you look at Leno, he was 11.3 million cap hit on this team, and this, they had $400,000 before the draft, and they just signed their franchise quarterback and their franchise tackle and a whole bunch of other guys. So, I mean, they had to get the money from somewhere. And I thought it was going to be Jimmy Graham. And I thought that since, you know, the Russell Wilson thing didn't work out, I know this might not be the only reason they were keeping him, but I just like thought they were keeping Graham around just in case, you know, Russell Wilson did become available. And, you know, but I thought that they would release Graham because, again, he had a similar cap hit that they could have, you know, saved money. But, I mean, that just kind of shows you the confidence that they have in Tevin Jenkins and what he can bring presumably on the left side. It does put a lot of pressure on him, too. But I think that, you know, you, when you listen to him speak, he just sounds ready, kind of like Justin Fields, where they're just ready to get to work. They don't really kind of – they don't feel the pressure, even though the, you know – the fan base is kind of, you know, putting that pressure on. I mean, it's not even like the fans, it's just the situation. This is a franchise that's desperate at this point to make a run, to finally find their quarterback, to have their offense just be decent and not one of the worst in the league. But I mean, I was shocked that it wasn't Graham. I would have called Graham over Leno, but I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how the offensive line shakes out here heading into the offseason. I think it's one of the biggest questions. So I guess we'll see how things unfold.
Yeah, it was a great point. I thought Jenkins and Fields, they do sound like grown adults when they're talking in front of the media. But it does make you wonder a little bit, like, okay, so they're going to move Jenkins to the left side. That's not exactly where he played, you know, throughout his college career. And maybe it is a good idea to put Dalton out there while Jenkins kind of learns, yeah, and, you know, gets his feet under him at the left side. Let Dalton get crushed, and then we'll bring in Fields. That's a great game plan. So I want to get into day three a little bit more next week, but, you know, what's just kind of your, just to round that up, it seemed like you did like Thomas Graham, the cornerback out of Oregon, seemed like he got a pretty good grade, and the Bears snatched him up at number 228 overall. They also add some guys that could probably help on special teams right out the gate, right? So got a flyer on at defensive tackle that could kind of get in the mix. So what'd you think about, you know, the Bears' kind of late draft moves?
Yeah, no, I know that's Ryan Pace's sweet spot, right, of day three and those later rounds. And, you know, looking at, you know, the guys that they added there, I think that there is the potential to be quite a few steals. Like you're talking about, like with Graham, like he was somebody who opted out because of COVID, and he was playing one of the top cornerbacks in the country. And even Pro Football Focus had him ranked 76th. As the 76th best prospect heading into the draft, and they got him at what, pick 228. So I think that he has the potential to develop into perhaps a starting cornerback. We'll see. We're looking for someone opposite Jalen Johnson there. So, I mean, I really like what you see out of him. And did you happen to see his reaction video to when Matt Nagy gave him the call?
I gotta get on social amazing. And see this stuff. Yeah, I gotta see this.
It's crazy because his family just starts screaming and freaking out, and then Nagy's there laughing. Because he can't say anything because they're just screaming. I mean, I love moments like that. It was really nice. But, you know, they added a depth at running back with Khalil Herbert, which I really like that. And Daz Newsome, you know, perhaps, you know, another one of those late round receivers. We'll see what happens with Anthony Miller. But, you know, Daz, I think, could compete for a roster spot, especially because him and Herbert have experience returning kicks, because now without Cordell Patterson, and maybe if you want to take Tariq Cohen out of punt returns, since that's, you know, how he tore his ACL, you know, you have options with them as well. And mm-hmm. I think with Tonga, you bring in a developmental guy who, with Akeem Hicks, he's entering this is his last year of his contract. And, you know, Tonga has the potential to learn behind Hicks and Goldman and even Bilal Nichols, who's really been, he's a fifth round guy who really developed into something special for them. So I can't believe really impressed from what Ryan Pace was able to do, not just with the first 2 days, because those were just home run swings, like, pretty much. But on day three too, like, and you look at how it's the national perspective where they were getting A's or A pluses on day three, even, and for the entire thing. So, I mean, we'll see how it all pans out, but I think that they got a whole bunch of great value picks that really have the potential to become something. And, you know, Pace, you know, he's able to spot those gems. So hopefully we'll have quite a few there.
Yeah, after he crushed the first two rounds, it's like it's all gravy, because that's his sweet spot, as you said, is in the middle rounds. But I don't know, Alyssa, it's one thing to go to the, you know, step up to the plate and swing for the fences, and it's another thing to connect. And you know, what a weekend for Ryan Pace and the Bears. This season just got way more fun. I'm so stoked for this. This is great.
Yeah, it's crazy, because I was sitting here and I'm like, man, I'm like really not looking forward to this season. It's like, you know, like it was missing that. And then all of a sudden the draft happens and I'm like, I'm freaking ready. Let's go.
I want to
fast forward through summer. I want to get to the fall, even though we might not see Justin Fields immediately. It's going to feel different, because I still remember back in 2017, like when Glennon was starting, there was like that demand. Everyone wanted Trubisky to get in there and everything. And now imagine that, but with Fields, like, it's going to be insane.
Times 10.
And then when he finally does, oh my goodness. I can't wait. All of a sudden this season, I just so very excited. And I think that a lot of Bears fans share that same feeling.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome. And we didn't even mention the name Aaron Rodgers once, because we already have,
a quarterback. Ryan, can you imagine? Because that all happened on Thursday, the same day where it sounded like Aaron Rodgers was done in Green Bay. It was the same night the Bears got Justin Fields, and just felt like the tides were turning and the roles were reversing. And this could, oh my goodness. Oh,
I feel like Packers fans are genuinely rattled. Like, they were trying to, like, you know, kind of poo-poo the pick. Oh, well, yeah, how those Ohio State, you know, quarterbacks panned out. Yeah, good luck with that one. And it just seemed like
technically a Georgia quarterback.
Yeah, it's true. That's
Georgia.
True, right. He transferred. But, you know, it does feel like Packers fans are a little rattled. Their quarterback is he's going off the deep end. And, you know, I don't know. And the Bears got better, and there's no doubt about that. They're a little bit rattled out there in Lambeau.
Well, I mean, Packers fans, it's about time they have to handle some quarterback, you know, poor quarterback play coming up here, because, man, they've had two back-to-back Hall of Famers, and we haven't had a great quarterback since Sid Luckman in the 40s. So it's about time. Like, join the club. Now it's 100%. Our turn. It is our turn.
Yeah, 100%. So, all right, you mentioned the summer, how it can't get here soon enough. I think next week we could kind of look ahead to the summer a little bit. Take a look at maybe some position battles, some training camp stuff, wrap up the draft, wrap up free agency. We'll do some big picture stuff next week. Talk more about Justin Fields. Sound good to you?
I am here to talk about Justin Fields forever.
Same. So once again, Ryan Pace, I'm sorry. You're the best GM in football. I love you. And Bears, Bears fans, thanks for joining us. We'll catch you next week.
This USA Today Sports podcast has been presented by USA Today's Sports Media Group and is available in your favorite podcast store. Make sure to subscribe for weekly updates, the latest fantasy picks from Corey Bonini, and the Huddle Podcast, Inside the Weekly Line with Sportsbook Wire's Jeff Clark and Esten McLaren, and the Bet Slippin' Podcast. We'll see you again next week.